Hello everyone and welcome to today's episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. To dive into today's topic, let me start by asking you a couple of questions. Does your mother still treat you like a child? Does she regularly interfere with your life because she knows better, you know, with that excuse? Has she resisted any signs that you were growing up? Like moving out, going to college, going out with your friends, getting married, etc. Do you ever have to tell her, I'm an adult now, I know what I'm doing, only to be met with incredulity or, you know, like ridicule? If your answer is yes to one or more of these questions, you may have experienced a manipulation by your narcissistic mother that is called infantilization. And what is it? Infantilization is the process of treating someone as if they were still a child. Got an email recently from someone saying that the only way she has to connect with her mother, the only way her mother gives her attention is when she acts and regresses to like being about 12 years of age. So that age where you're still kind of dependent on your parents, on your mother. And if she does that, then she gets some kind of acknowledgement from her mother. If she doesn't, then she doesn't get it. So that's what we're talking about today. This is what infantilization is. With a narcissistic mother, this manifests with the child from the beginning, like from the very, very beginning, when she refuses to evolve her parenting to match the level of growth and maturity of the child. Instead, she still treats the child as if they were younger. So at whatever stage this can happen, this can be between baby and toddler, between toddler and a little bit older. So she will still treat the child as if the child is at the younger stage without changing and evolve the parenting to suit the level of maturity and capacity of the child. So rather than matching her parenting to the needs of the child, she is actually matching it with her own needs. She has a need to keep it that way, and we'll look into it in a minute. And this behavior gets progressively worse as the child grows into adulthood. As her goal with this manipulation and conditioning is to never give her child their autonomy. So why does a narcissistic mother infantilize her child? Because a narcissistic mother sees her child as an extension of herself, hers to be controlled. Because she has a grandiose sense of self and she believes she knows best in every situation. She cannot admit not to know better than anyone else. And because she wants to be needed, and by conditioning her child from the start to accept to be treated like a smaller, not autonomous individual, she makes herself needed forevermore. She makes sure that you're gonna go back to her constantly. So it's a pretty intense manipulation tactic. And how can you tell if you have been or are to this day being infantilized by your mother? So here are 9 signs to spot this manipulation tactic. And again, you feel into your own experience. Some of this may apply to you, some of this may not. And you also may have other examples in your own life that listening to this may bring into the light. So feel into your own experience. So first of all, if your mother often or always steps into what you're doing, if she does it for you, if she finishes tasks for you when you didn't ask for help, with the excuse that she does it better and that she knows better. And this can be something that she used to do when you were small, like she would just take over your homeworks for you or take over whatever game that you were trying to set up or play, take it over for you. Or if you had like a little, something that you were like a project or something that you wanted to create or build, that she'd go like, no, I'll do it for you, because she felt and told you that you were not capable and that she knew better and you did not ask for her support. You, in these situations, those are the situations where you didn't ask for her help and she jumps in and does it for you. And she might still do this to this day. I don't know. You might be taking care of your baby, and she might just come over and snatch it from you and do, "Oh, I'll do it," because you don't know how to do it. Or you might be preparing a meal or something, and she just butts in and goes, "No, I'll do it because I know how to do it better than you do." That kind of behavior. Second point, she treats your so-called mistakes, which are a natural part of the growing and learning process, as failures, using them as evidence of your incompetence and of your need for her. So again, this can all of this stuff that can you can recognize it, oh, this was really happening when I was a child, or you can see it as, my God, this is still happening now when I'm a full grown up. So again, there's variations to this, but as a child growing up, mistakes are a very normal part of a very natural part of the learning process. I mean, we learn to walk by sort of not walking and falling and tripping and then getting back up and try again, take a step, getting back up and try again, and all of that. So those mistakes, in inverted brackets, are fundamental. But when you have a mother that does this kind of thing, she will use, "Oh, you see? See, you just did that. So clearly you don't know how to do that. So I'll do it. You're never gonna be able to do that. You see, you keep making mistakes. You might as well just give up and come back to me." That's the energy. Number three, she interferes in all things private in your life, such as at your workplace, for example, your relationships, the mothering of your own children, if you have any, disregarding boundaries, ignoring you telling her to stop. She talks to people in your life and she tells you who and what's better for you. So this is the intrusive nature with this conditioning that you're not able, you're not mature enough, you're not a grown up, you're not autonomous, no matter what age you are. She feels she has the right and actually the duty as your mother, she could put it that way, to interfere in everything that is part of your life that is private. You could get to the point where you don't actually want to share anything about your life because you might say something about what's happened at work, and she could just march into your workplace and speak to people on your behalf when you have not asked her to intervene at all. Or she could tell you who your friends should be, who your relationships should be based on her judgment because she knows best, and your judgment, your intuition is useless. Number four, she acts surprised at your achievements, saying things like, "I can't believe you got something right. I clearly taught you something." Or, "You got lucky this time. Next time, ask me first before you end up making a mess." So the surprise, if you're doing something right, there's like a shock, some kind of a, "Oh, that was unexpected." And either she takes credit for it, she dismisses it as a stroke of luck, and makes sure to remind you that you should have consulted her first. Number five, she regularly dismisses your feelings, opinions, intuitions, and abilities in general. So this speaks for itself. Anything that comes from you that would show that you are growing into being autonomous, that you have your that you're doing what's natural and developing your identity, or trying to, with a narcissistic mother, she dismisses all of that as nonsense. Number six, she disapproves of all decisions that you make without consulting her first. She can go as far as to get angry and abusive with you if you do such a thing, or give you the silence treatment, even as punishment, if you don't ask her opinion on things. So you'll get punished if you do something by your own initiative without asking for her opinion. And again, this could have been the way that it went when you were a child growing up, especially when you start getting a little bit more independent, you know, in your teens and stuff like that. You start wanting to do things on your own, and you mightn't ask for her permission for everything. She will make sure that you get punished somehow, emotionally, if not physically, for that. To keep that conditioning, to keep that. Number seven, she pays for things, even if you ask her not to. Maybe disguising it as a gift to keep you dependent on her for money. That's another way she can infantilize you, keeping you like, oh, you still get pocket money from mommy kind of thing. She tells you how you could never make enough money without her, and so that she still needs to give you money for you to do things. Number eight, she often tells you how the world is unsafe, overly putting emphasis on the dangers out there and how you are only safe with her, how she only can judge if there's a risk or not. And this goes well beyond a mother being objective about the risks that are out there. Okay, so a lot of this stuff that I've just spoken can be interpreted as, oh, but that's just the mother being really nice. You know, like if she sees that I don't have a lot of money, that she gives me a little money, or if, you know, she sees that I'm not able to do something, that she actually wants to help me and support me, or that as a caring mother, she's warning me about the risks of the world, because as a woman, as a girl, as a young girl going into the world, there are risks. And of course, a good caring mother would warn you about all of these things. That's all okay. But what we need to understand here is that these behaviors that I'm talking about, the narcissistic mother brings them to an extreme. And there is always this energy behind it of, you are not good enough, you're not capable, you're stupid, you are somehow faulty and broken in some way, and therefore me as a mother, I'm gonna just step in and do it for you, or make you feel so unsafe in the world, make it sound so terrible, because your lack of judgment is what we're criticizing here, where I am the one that has the all-knowing, perfect intuitive sense, perfect judgment of people. I can read people, you can't, therefore you're at risk. Can you get the difference? So this is what we're talking about. There is a difference between being a caring and loving mother, and I know we haven't, if you're here, you haven't experienced that, as I haven't. And a mother that actually uses this as a manipulation tactic to make you rely on her forevermore, so that she can feel needed forevermore. And the result of that is we're gonna actually in a moment look into what, how does that make us feel as daughters that have been through that, and that's gonna make you really understand, it's gonna make it obvious what's the difference between that is a manipulation and all these aspects when are actually coming from love. And usually when these things are coming from a real place of love and caring and nourishment, like a healthy mother energy, you're going to be asked, there's going to be a question, would you like support with that? It's not that you're doing anything wrong, but would you like any help? Or, you know, that's a completely different place to come from. So I just digressed a little bit for a moment, but I wanted to make that point clear. And so number nine, the last sign, as you grew up, she may have insisted to keep doing things for you, such as brushing your hair, or I don't know, deciding your clothes for you for the day, even when you had the desire and capacity to do it for yourself. So simple tasks that usually as you grow up, you, of course, your mother does them for you for a while, and then at some point you actually start doing them for yourself, and that's just the natural sort of way things go if she insists to keep doing that, keep treating you like a child. And she might still do that. Like she could be forcing herself to get into your home and tidy things for you when you didn't ask for that. She could come in and do your laundry, or, you know, all these silly things. She could come in and pretend to care for your kids. I've seen that happening in my own family. Not with my mother, but my grandmother towards my mother when myself and my sister were born. You're useless, you're immature, you're not good enough to do it, so I'm gonna step in and do it for you. So, and always when you have no need for any support and you're not asking, you actually would be asking to do it by yourself. You would like to do it by yourself. You feel like you could do it by yourself, but she still wants to do it for you. So let me know if you recognize aspects of this behavior in your mother, you can share that with me via email, or you can also share with me in the comments. How does all that we just spoke about impact us as daughters of narcissistic mothers that have been through this kind of manipulation? So, as I mentioned earlier, that's where we're really gonna see how this is affecting us. So all of what I mentioned can leave you feeling incapable of doing things for yourself, like fully believing that you're incapable of doing things for yourself. It could leave you feeling lack of confidence in your capacity to achieve things and also to learn new skills. So if your mother told you often that you're not able to learn new things, therefore she has to do them for you, you could still today say statements like, "Oh, I'm not good at learning new things," or I'm never good, like, "I'm not good at learning new languages," or "I'm not good at learning how to cook," or "I'm never gonna be good at learning how to be a mom," or things like that. This can become beliefs that we take on because of this level of conditioning and manipulation. You could feel the need to be a perfectionist, to show that you're able, and to, like, as a reaction, you could feel inherently not able for things as if you were born faulty. So, like, there's nothing, when we feel inherently faulty and unable, it's really a hopeless place to be, because if you were born lacking, then there's really nothing you can do about it. And this is something that a narcissistic mother going through this type of manipulation can definitely have told us often. So it's pretty intense. You could be feeling the constant need to be acknowledged, liked, and validated by others that can lead to be a people pleaser. Because having had this constant criticism from your mother putting you down, telling you how incapable you are, so that she could keep you in this, like, childlike state, and she continuously is needed, can lead you to wanting acceptance and validation from others to the point that you're just pleasing everyone in the desperate hope to get something back, all the time. You could be feeling fear of the world and of putting yourself out there. Remember, if she just put a lot of emphasis on how unsafe the world is, that this is something my mother has done a lot. I do remember that very clearly. The world was always a horrible place, very unsafe. There was war everywhere, and it's not that there's no a level of, I mean, some aspects of it are true, but the level of emphasis that was put on it was crazy, to the point that I was really not sleeping at night. I had nightmares after hearing my mom talk about things like that. Number 7, the need to consult. You could be feeling the need to consult your mother for everything. So even when you know this hurts you, even if when you know at this point that the way she's gonna go about it is not healthy and it's not gonna leave you feeling very good, but you might still feel the need. So anytime something happens, or anytime you have to make a decision, just pick up the phone and ring your mother. You might feel that need to always go to her, to always consult her. And this might remain even if you're no contact. You might still feel the need. And you mightn't do it because you've decided to be no contact, but you might recognize that inside that pull, that need to go and contact your mother and ask her for her opinion might actually still come up for you. And finally, you might be feeling stuck in repeating the same pattern, as in being infantilized by people in other areas of your life, not just by your mother, but this could be happening to you at work, could be happening to you with kind of people you are with, like friends and stuff like that, in other situations in your life where people treat you like a child. They do things for you, they don't think you're capable for responsibility, they mightn't consider you capable to take on big challenges, so they'll do them for you, or they'll push you over, or they'll act surprised if you ever get anything right. So this same dynamic could happen to you in other areas of your life because it has happened to you with your mother. So if you're feeling any of that, I get it. And Again, you know, I say this a lot, but it's because I have seen that that's true. You're not alone in all this. I get questions on this topic quite often, on aspects of this topic, and so many of us have been through aspects of this behavior in our experience growing up. So you're not alone, and also it has absolutely nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. It's all to do with your mother and nothing to do with you. So how can you protect yourself from this behavior from your narcissistic mother? This is important because this is the part when we start actually healing and do something about it. And we're not the victim anymore, but we are actually the survivor of what has happened to us. So first of all, become aware of her behavior and how it manifests in your experience, because as I said, it's going to be different from all of us. Like, there's general aspects to it. Infantilization works in a certain way, but we then have our own unique experience. So it's really important to become aware of how this is happening in your own life. So what's your mother's specific behavior on this? How does she still treat you like a child? How does she do it? How has she done it in the past? What's the conditioning that you've received from your mother on this topic? And understand all of that. That's really important, because when you start understanding all of that, you can actually give it back the dimension that it has. Okay, so these feelings I'm feeling, these feelings I'm feeling, you know, feeling incapable, feeling lack of confidence, feeling faulty inherently, feeling afraid of everything and all of that, they're not actually, they're it's not that they're not real, because of course we're feeling them in the moment, so don't get me wrong. Of course you're feeling it for real, but they're based on fake conditioning. Like, they're based on our mothers, on your mother telling you things that were not true. It was manipulation and conditioning. So from there you can start seeing all of that in a different light. Okay, there is this belief in me that I'm not capable, but that comes from that conditioning. So from now on I can start seeing that for what it is and actually just go, hold on a minute, maybe I will try, because I might actually be capable, and whatever about what my mother said up until now, because that's not true. That's her story. That's not my story. So becoming aware of how it works can really show you how this affects your life, or has affected your life up until now, has impacted your life up until now, and give you that capacity to get empowered and actually start changing the patterns. Then another thing that is important to protect yourself from this is to stop justifying your mother by making excuses for her. Saying things about your mother like, ah, she went through a lot. Yeah, she might have done all of these things, but you know, she's been through a lot herself. Or worse again, putting it on yourself as you are the responsible person. So you make excuses for her because you're taking the responsibility. Like, I was a slow learner as a child and still am, so she had to deal with me that way. You know, kind of admitting to really ultimately you being faulty and using this as an excuse or a justification for her behavior. That's not helpful. That's really not helpful. It's not about blaming her or about being unforgiving by default. That's not what I'm saying. There will be a time for forgiveness, for sure. At some point in your healing journey, you will find it in yourself. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm still working on it. But there might be a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I can feel forgiveness for my mother. This doesn't change the fact that I'm not gonna engage in those toxic behaviors, but I can sort of forgive. That might happen in your healing journey, but it can't start from there, because that's a forced thing. And when we constantly justify and when we constantly make excuses for her to show that we actually have this forgiveness, we're actually stopping, you're preventing yourself from acknowledging the pain you feel and felt and the impact of what you've been through. And if you don't acknowledge all of that, if you don't really go into that, this can stop you on your healing journey. It can leave you stuck. And then you start repeating patterns because there is this thing that we, there is this mechanism that is relieving the trauma. So we keep repeating the dynamics and the patterns in a lot of other areas of our life because we don't face it in that one area with our mothers. And so that it keeps impact, it keeps impacting everything else. So again, I'm not telling you, you have to go around ranting and blaming your mother and being completely unforgiving by a point of principle. That's not what I'm saying. But if you find yourself often justifying and making excuses for her, the invitation is to just stop doing that and acknowledge the pain that you felt or that you're feeling. Another way is question everything she said and may still say to you about how she knows better, about your so-called shortcomings, about the stories she brings as evidence of you needing her help and support, about how she describes the world out there, about how she describes you, about everything. Question everything. This was really hard for me. I actually really thought my mom had the truth on everything. For a very long time into my adult life still, I believed that she was the holder of the truth and that she truly knew better. And I really had to run to her anytime that I had an issue and consult her for every decision. Only afterwards, looking back, I'm like, whoa, that was toxic. And that was messed up. And that really impacted my life big time. And I had to go through the process of questioning absolutely everything she said. And by doing that, I've actually liberated from a lot of conditioning. And it still does come up. Like still stuff comes up. And I'm like, whoa, I hadn't questioned that yet. I didn't even know that was a thing yet. And it still comes up. So the invitation is to question everything she said to you. Literally everything. Because everything that she said more than likely comes from her wanting to meet her own needs and not actually from her properly wanting to protect you or support you or help you growing into an independent, wise, amazing person. It's all about herself. So question everything. Stop trying to show her and convince her that you are an independent adult. You may have noticed already how she does not listen or how she does not see what you're trying to show her, no matter how much you insist. So this is not about your mother getting that you are an independent adult, but about you truly feeling like one. And it's a process. And when you truly get to feel like an independent adult, an autonomous person, a grounded person in who you are and in yourself, you will find that you actually don't need your mother's approval all that much anymore. You don't need her opinion anymore, and you don't actually need to show her anything. You get to that place where you're like, I am who I am, and I'm actually really fine with it, with all the flaws and all the positives and all of that. And whatever about what you think, this is who I am. But it's a grounded inner state. It's not like a living as a reaction, because when we're constantly trying to show her that we are big and adults and we're trying to convince her and make her see it, we might end up living our lives as a reaction to her. Oh, she always told me that I wasn't capable to do such thing. Well, then I'm going to show her and I'm going to do it. And it mightn't be something you actually wanted to do in the first place, but you do it as a reaction just to show her, just to prove her. And that can become quite unhelpful as a way of living. So it's the invitation is to stop trying to bang yourself. Stop banging your head against the wall trying to show her. And just live your life, concentrate on your own healing process, on your own life, on the things that matter to you really, and to getting to know yourself. Another important thing to do to protect yourself is set boundaries around yourself to create space between you and your mother, so you may start feeling safe in trying things for yourself. Start sampling a self-boundary, like when something happens, I will not ring my mother for her advice. You know, that's a boundary around yourself. You can't pretend, you can't control your mother from wanting to come in, wanting to intrude, wanting to give you advice, but you can actually set a boundary or a boundary around yourself and not consult her, not ring her. Resist that urge, that impulse to run to her anytime there's something, and try to either sort it by yourself first, test your abilities, try and see what you can do and how far you can go, and also contact someone to help you, because there's nothing wrong in asking for help, but someone that you know it's safe to ask help for help to. Someone that will help you because they're a safe person and not because they have, I don't know, some hidden agenda in there wanting to help you. Another very important way to protect yourself and heal from all of this is acknowledge how you feel. And this could be angry at your mother or grieving the time you felt you feel you've lost due to all of this manipulation. Or you might still feel unsure and not confident about your capacities. You might feel fear of being without her advice because you've learned, even if it was the wrong advice, even if it was toxic, you have learned to rely on that advice. And I get that. That there's that bond is there. So you could be really scared of how it would be to be without her advice. And I get that. I was, for sure, very, very scared. So even when you know it's never for the best, that can leave you really frightened. And there could be a lot more that you're feeling. So all of it is valid. All of it is valid. I know if you've been through this kind of manipulation, we said she dismisses your feelings and anything that goes on with you gets dismissed. And instead, it's really important to feel what you feel, acknowledge what you feel, and all of it is valid. And to seek support around these feelings. In a space where you know it's safe and with people who have been through the experience of having a narcissistic mother and so will understand how you're feeling. And the next point is learn to mother yourself. Learn to access that part of you that's compassionate and supportive, that has your back even when you're trying something new and even when you're not sure. Even when you make a so-called mistake, that part of you, that mothering, inner mothering energy still has your back no matter what, still loves you, still supports you no matter what. You can access that energy within yourself, completely separate from your actual physical, biological mother. That inner mothering is in each one of us. It is a process to access it, but it is a very important part of this healing path. And finally, the last point is remember that none of the things your mother said to you are an indication of your true capacity to succeed and to learn. It's just manipulation and not the truth about who you are. She was meeting her own needs. She has her own story. She has her own shame to hide from and all of that. None of it has anything to do with you. Absolutely nothing. Doesn't matter if she brought to you tons of evidence of how incapable you are. None of it is actually true. None of it is true. I have been lucky enough to meet mothers that actually really nourish their children in a super supportive and amazing way. And to see kids that even with something that you could objectively call a disadvantage in life, succeeded and did amazing because they had a mother behind them that never believed that to be a shortcoming, that never believed that to be a fault, and never conditioned their children to believe that either. Quite the opposite. And so that's what that's what the healthy mothering is about. And I know we haven't experienced that. And I know that a lot of grief and a lot of sadness and this hurts. And I get that. I do get that. But at the same time, that energy is within you. You can access that within you. You can start from now mothering yourself, not like your mother did, but in the healthy way. Mothering yourself, showing yourself how amazing you are, how safe you are, no matter what, that making mistakes is part of learning and it's part of growing, that we all get it wrong a ton of times, and that doesn't mean anything about you, doesn't mean you're faulty, bad, or incapable. You're just trying. Actually, the more mistakes you make, I use that as a at this point, I had to retrain myself because I really did not grow up with these beliefs. But I do use the level of times that I get something wrong as a really good sign, because it means I am really trying and I'm really going for things that I didn't do before and I didn't know how to do, and I'm learning. So that's one way to mother yourself in a way that is constructive and helpful and healthy. So let me know your experience of this, if you recognize any of these behaviors, any of the feelings within you, and if this was helpful, you can share with me by email. And as I say, you can share it in the comments, and also you can check out in the description of the episode. There's always the link to access the self-love guided practice, as well as all the links to the offerings, if you feel called to work with me, whether that is with the women's circles or with the one-on-one program. All the links are in the description of the episode. So with that, I send you lots of love, and bye for now.